Thank you, Pastor Mike. Praise God. How y'all doing today? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. Is Brock in the room? Or he's if you don't get a chance to say hello to Brock Berry, he is an officially a Coastie in the Coast Guard. He's here. He went through boot camp, and he made it. And August 2nd, he gets assigned to his ship. So he's just here for a few days. He's helping in the children's church, but I know you want to say hello to Brock. We're so proud of him going in the Coast Guard and passing boot camp and serving our country. Just keep him in your prayer. Before we get into our message, I just wanted to reinforce what Pastor Mike said about Growth Track. If you haven't been through Growth Track, please pray about coming tonight. What Growth Track is about you finding your purpose and fulfilling your destiny. That's what we're all about as a church. It has three parts. Number one is discover your church. Number two is discover your gifting. Statistics say that 87% of Christians in church today do not know what their spiritual gifts are. And this is how we try to accomplish that. We'd give you a spiritual gifts test, and you leave tonight not only full of lasagna, but full of vision for your life, understanding your gifting. And then the third thing we do is explore what your possible steps would be based on your gifting. All right, so please sign up and come tonight. Look forward to seeing you. I'll be there. Well, this is Overcomers Part 2. We started last week. If you need notes, if you didn't get one, there should be notes in your worship guide. Or if you need an extra one or didn't get one, raise your hand. The ushers have some extra ones they'd be glad to pass out. Okay, great. So as we start talking about overcomers, actually this is part two, so last week we laid a foundation and began to talk about the difference between having an overcomer's mentality and having a victim mentality. And this is a very important concept for all of us as Christians to understand, because we're in a battle. I don't know if you realize, I don't say that to scare you, I just say that that's a reality. It doesn't take much to realize, if you just look at the world around us, there's a lot of crud, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of sin, there's a lot of problems, there's corruption, there's destruction, there's pain, right? And so we're in a battle to continually be winning victories. So you have to have an overcomer's mentality, or the battle is lost before you begin. If you have a loser's mentality, and that is not the mentality that's taught to us through Scripture, is not a defeatist mentality. Now, it's very easy to pick that up based on the society that we live in. And I want to warn every one of us, be careful. Don't pick up the spirit of this world, that Eeyore spirit. I'm a loser. I can't make it. You know, if my toast drops, it falls butter side down. That's the way it goes. Nothing works out for me. And we just pick that up, you know, and we got to be very careful not to pick that up and own it, because it's not you. It's not Christ. It's not the power of God. It's not the vision of the church. And so I want to talk about why we're talking about being an overcomer is what's tied to who we are as a church and what we're all about. Here's what we're all about as a church. Let me just unveil our secret. Our secret agenda is this: unleashing your potential. That's what we are all about as a church. Unleashing your potential, because I believe there's something awesome deposited on the inside of you by God. Amen. Proverbs says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter and the glory of kings to reveal a matter. It was God's glory. He enjoyed hiding a gift down on the inside of you. And it would be your glory to open that gift. The sad reality is many people go through their whole life with a gift wrapped up on the inside of them and they never open it. That is our desire as a church, is to help every one of you find what God has deposited in you. Open it up and see that come to pass. Church is what God has deposited in each one of us. That's what church is. Church is each of us doing what we were created to do. When every one of us is fulfilling our destiny, church is a beautiful thing. When we're all trying to fulfill somebody else's destiny, then it doesn't quite work right. Let me give you a little bit of a shocking statement right now. Church is not about being fed. Now, that might shock you because you were like, maybe you came here and go, wait a minute, that's why I came here. I came here to get fed. I want you to take it to the next level. According to Scripture, church is not about being fed. It's about being equipped. There's a big difference. Because Ephesians says the purpose of the pastoral ministry is to equip the saints for the work of service. You say, well, I want to get fed. Well, that's why he gave us Scripture. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. Can I just be honest with you? We're supposed, as Christians, we're supposed to feed on the Word of God every day. It's the bread of life. You don't need someone to feed you, but we do need each other to be equipped. We need the church to release our potential, and that's the way it works out. God has chosen to demonstrate himself and to reach this world through a vehicle he calls the church. That's Jesus' invention. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So what we want to do, our function, we have a desire for you. It's in your notes. There's four things that we desire for you. This ties into why we have to have an overcomer's mentality. I'll show you that in a minute, okay? It's four things in your notes. Our desire for you. Number one, our desire for you is that you know God. That's first, foremost, most important. And you got to start there, because if you don't know God, nothing else really works. I don't know about you, but I was raised in a church. I went to this church for 20 years. I went to the church school for most of my life. And I knew about God, but I didn't know God. Can I tell you that's a huge gap? That's what religion is, about God, but without God. Christianity is knowing him and having a relationship with him. So our first desire for you is that you know God. And that's a continuing process. Because even after you get to know God, sometimes it can become religion. It can become rote, and you're just going through the motions, and it doesn't work like that. It's the same thing in a family. Rules without relationships leads to rebellion. There has to be relationship, and it's the same thing in the family of God. The second desire we have for you is to find freedom. That's in your notes. Find freedom. You say, well, really? Do I need to? Yeah. Through the course of life, there is a devil loose. There is all kinds of crud out there that we navigate through, and we pick up baggage, and you need to get free. I need to get free. It's a lifelong process. Our second desire for you is to find freedom. The third desire we have for you is to discover your purpose. Because as I said, 87% of people in the church have never discovered their God-given purpose. When I was in Los Angeles, Rebecca and I went there in 1981 to plant a church at UCLA, and that church is still going and sending people all over the world. But when I worked full-time in the fitness industry, and it allowed me to go into homes of people in Beverly Hills and some of the richest people, famous people. And what I noticed was the things that the world is telling us will make you happy didn't make them happy. And I begin to put two and two together and realize that no matter how much money, fame, fortune, all those things that you have, if you're not doing what God created you to do, you're miserable. And I went in the homes of people. One guy, I set up a unit in his house and trained him and spent some time. He had a home that overlooked, you could see Mount Baldy, you could see Beverly Hills, downtown LA, you could see the Pacific Ocean from his house. It was amazing. I set up some equipment in there and talked to him, and a couple months later they told me, go pick up the equipment. I said, what? He doesn't like that equipment? No. He's dead. He killed himself. What? That's what the world says. If you got that, if you live in that house, you're happy. He wasn't happy. Why? He's still unfulfilled. We want you to discover your purpose, because no matter what your station is in life, I found out if you've discovered your purpose and you're fulfilling your purpose, you're happy. And then the fourth desire we have for you is to make a difference. And that's another component that if it's lacking, you're still miserable, is you want to make a difference, and that's where fulfillment comes from, making a difference. When you discover your purpose, you can put it into practice and you can make a difference. Now, here's what happens. In order to do these four, you have to overcome. In order to know God, you have to overcome a whole lot of the forces of evil and the forces of the, if you are a Christian today, you could look back and say, there was a path for you to get to knowing God, and there was a lot of resistance for you to get there. I've noticed this when people get water baptized. People sign up, they say they're going to come. There's a large percentage of people that they never quite make it. Something happens that there's resistance. Anytime you go to take a step for God, there is resistance from the enemy. And you have to overcome that resistance. To get to know God, you have to overcome the world. You have to overcome the devil. To find freedom, we have some things in the church that we've set up to help you find freedom. Small groups, the life group. The life group is specifically designed to help us deal with baggage from the past to get rid of it. But I can tell you there's a lot of people that can't make it to the life group because they can't overcome their fears. What's going to happen? What are they going to say? To get victory in your life, you have to be an overcomer. That's why we're talking about this. Overcoming, having an overcomer's attitude is vital for you to become what you want to be and what God wants you to be. To find freedom, you have to overcome the fear of revisiting the past. To discover your gifting, you have to overcome inertia, because there's something that says, even in physics, a body at rest tends to remain at rest, right? That's the law of inertia. If it's there, a body in motion tends to remain. And when you haven't discovered your gifting, there's something that's kind of like, well, I don't know, you know. And you have to overcome an attack of the enemy that if you're thinking, you heard us talk about growth track today, I guarantee you there's an enemy saying, no, you can't make it tonight. You need to go here. You need to go there. You don't want to do this, blah, blah, blah. Whatever your button is, the devil's going to push it to make sure you don't take the next step in your life. You have to overcome that which the enemy is throwing at you. To make a difference, that's the fourth desire. To make a difference, you have to overcome apathy. There's something that the devil says, no, you can't make a difference. You're just a loser. You're just a this. You're just a that. You're an accident. You know, remember what people said over you when you were a child? No, no, no. And you have to overcome those things. So here's our first verse. We'll go back and then we're going to move forward here today. 1 John 5:4. Whatever is born of God, anybody here born of God? Overcomes the world. Overcomes the world. Doesn't flow. Whatever is born of God, there's a battle. What it's saying is get ready. If you're born of God, there's going to be a battle. Overcomes the world. Our church is called Victory Church. Isn't that awesome, Victory? But that means you're in a battle. You can't have victory without having a battle. You can't overcome without having an adversary, having an obstacle, have something. Whatever is born of God, oh, he's telling us in a nice way, you're going to have problems in life. You're going to have trouble. There's stuff going to come at you. You're not going to float through life. Jesus never said, walk the aisle and you'll float through life on flowery beds of ease. He never said that. He's telling us right here. He said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. See, have the overcomer's attitude. Whatever is born of God, got to have that mentality. Not the victim, not the loser, not I'm not going to make, overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world. That's our part, our faith. Our faith, we have to, by faith, release what grace has provided. That's God's part. God provided the grace. He gave us a measure of faith. We have to connect our faith with his grace to give the power to overcome. Yeah. The opposite of an overcomer's mentality is a victim mentality. Like I mentioned Eeyore. How many of you know who Eeyore is? Watch Winnie the Pooh. I don't know, when our kids were small, I've watched every Winnie the Pooh, folks. I'm going to make a confession. I love Winnie the Pooh. That is cool. That's some really neat stuff. That and Jungle Book. I've probably seen Jungle Book 50 times, and I like it every time I watch it. And Winnie the Pooh is neat. And there's a character in Winnie the Pooh. I don't know what. I don't want to be like him, but I like him because I feel sorry for him. It's Eeyore. Anybody remember Eeyore? It's my birthday. You know, he just always was in a bad, you know, that to me depicts what I'm talking about, the spirit of this world that you got to shake off, that Eeyore attitude, that loser's mentality, the victim mentality. So I got a little clip from YouTube, some little snippets. If you didn't have the blessing of watching Winnie the Pooh, I just give you a little taste of what I'm talking about with Eeyore. Go ahead and roll that video. Couple of shots from old Eeyore.
morning, Pooh Bear.
If it is a good morning, which I doubt.
However,
now, did I get your tail back on properly, Eeyore?
No matter. Most likely lose it again anyway.
Poor dear. You know, I may have just the thing.
Up, up, up you go.
There you are.
It's an awful nice tail, Kanga. Much nicer than the rest of me. It's not much of a tail, but I'm sort of attached to it.
Not much of a house. Just right for not much of a donkey.
Might take a day or two, but I'll find a new one.
End of the road. Nothing to do. And no hope of things getting better. Sounds like Saturday night at my house.
Do you know anybody that's an Eeyore? Well, I'm telling you, there's a little bit of Eeyore that wants to come out and run rampant in every single one of us. It's the spirit of this world. It's just like, you know, hey, there's a show that I like to watch on TV called Alaskan Bush People. Anybody like that? It's really this family. But they're really cool, and I like them, and they're Christians, and they live in the bush of Alaska. They've been there for 35 years, husband, his wife, and 7 kids. They said this thing, I never heard them say this before in this last episode. They were having some bad luck, and their name is Brown, their last name is Brown, and he goes, well, it's just the Brown luck. And it's like, man, I got to call them up and try to help them out. You don't want to, that's not what you want to say. You don't want to own that. You don't want to possess that. You don't want to confess that. That's just, there's people in my life, in my family that I know. Well, that's just the way things go for me. Someone called me with my family member, hey, guess what happened? La, la, la. And I try to encourage them. No, that's my luck, you know. And there's something that tries to get in us when God speaks to us and says, here's what I have for you. And then there's this other side of us going, well, it can't be true. Too good to be true. God, but that's you got to shake that off. You got to have an overcomer's mentality. It's what God wants to have. Victim mentality says, no matter how hard I try, nothing gets better. So quit trying. It says, I can't win. I'm just a born loser. An overcomer mentality says, greater is he that is in me than any obstacle I might run against. One plus God makes a majority. The overcomer's mentality says, everything always works out for me. It doesn't say, yeah, that's just my luck. No matter what I'm facing, you say, well, you just made that up. Everything always works out for me. No, you go ahead and read Romans 8:28 says that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love him. Why not just take that? If he says he didn't say he caused all things to happen. He says he causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That means I say, I've got a purpose. And listen, if anybody could get discouraged, it was the Apostle Paul. And you know what he said? He said, momentary light afflictions, they don't mean anything to me because I've got my hope fixed on heaven. Amen. Momentary light afflictions? Wait a minute, did I get that? Do you know what Paul went through? And he just called it, no big deal. It's no big deal. That's the attitude you and I have to have. Something comes against you, no big deal. My God's bigger than this big deal. It's a small deal. It depends on, you know, sometimes we make our mountains so big and God so small when we need to make God so much bigger than our mountain. It's still the same size it was, but how big is your God? That's what makes a difference. If he's bigger than your mountain, the mountain doesn't matter. It's got to move. And that's what he said. He said, if you trust me, if you believe me, you can speak to mountains and they'll move. But if you keep speaking to the mountain saying, that's just the way I am, I'm always facing these mountains. No, then you're speaking the wrong thing. We got to change how we think, and it changes how we act. We have to change how we speak. So an overcomer's mentality says, everything always works out for me. Would you say that with me? Just go ahead. So for some people, it's going to be the hardest thing you ever did in your life. Just say this with me. Everything always works out for me. Yeah. Yeah. No lightning bolts came down yet. You said it. But you have to say it when the
challenges are there in life. When you get that phone call you didn't want to get, like Steve Duke about a year ago, the doctor said, "That's it, you're finished, incurable, inoperable, done." 6 months, over. And he went home and said, "Let's see what God says about this thing." And the doctor said, "Impossible," but God said, "Possible." And he had to be careful what he said. And he said, "Here's my path to victory. You got to find your path to victory." Maybe his path is, but it's going to work. It's going to work if you have this attitude. Everything always works out for me. And he said, "I'm going to confess the word." And he did that every day. Went back to the doctor 9 months later, and the doctor said, "We can't find any cancer in your body anymore. We don't know where it went." And he just had a follow-up, and there's still no cancer in his body. But if he had had the Eeyore mentality, that he just received it, and I guarantee you, it would have overcome him instead of him overcoming it. So let that be something that charges your faith. It's the mentality. It's the way you look at it. Overcomer's mentality says me plus God makes a majority. It says God is on my side. It says it doesn't matter how bad it looks today, I know God's going to bring me through this victorious. It's all about agreeing with the word. It's all about attitude. Revelations 2:7, Jesus said this. He said, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches," because we're the ones that have the problem, "to him who overcomes." See? Every letter to the seven churches has this statement in it, "to him who overcomes." What's he trying to tell us? You're going to have to overcome. You're going to have stuff to overcome. So don't let the fact that you have challenges shake your faith. You have to have a challenge to overcome. "I'll grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." 1 John 4:4, "You're from God, little children, and have overcome them." He puts it in the past tense because your victory goes back 2,000 years to the cross. That's where your victory is. It's not in you being all that. It's in you lining up with what he did. That's all that is. That's all Steve did was say, I'm going to believe that what Isaiah said about Jesus is true. He bore my pain, carried away my diseases. By his scourging, I'm healed. So he didn't heal himself. He received the healing that Jesus bought on the cross. He just appropriated and drove out the negativity and the fear and the devil who was trying to put it on him and drove it out. Yeah. You say, "Well, was it the devil?" Acts 10:38 says, "You know Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil." Yeah. That's what sickness doesn't come from God. It comes from the enemy. The Spirit of God in you is greater than the spirit of this world. You're an overcomer. Here's your next fill in the blank. You're destined to win and be victorious. Yep. You're destined. You say, does that mean that it's done and certain? No. Let's understand the word destined. Some people have, there's some confusion about what destiny is and what the word predestined means, because the Bible says we're predestined. So some people go, then I don't have to do anything. No, nothing could be further from the truth. Let's explain that word. Predestined does not mean pre-motioned or predetermined. Look it up in the dictionary. You can find it out for yourself. Let me explain it to you this. Let me put it in a picture for you. Pastor Mike, I tell him, I say, "Pastor Mike, take the church van. Here's the gas card, and here's the keys, and here's a map. I want you to go up I-75 to 10, over to 95, and go to New York." I give it to him, and he gets in the van, and he takes off. What have I done? I've predestined him. I gave him, beforehand, I told him his destination. God has that for every one of us. But watch this. I didn't go with him and drive the van. I didn't pre-program the van. I didn't pre-program his brain or his head. I gave him free will. Don't you have free will? Aren't you free to do dumb things? And we take advantage of that quite often. We understand free will. We say, well, how do those two work together? Perfectly, right? I predestined him, and I want him to take the initiative to follow my instructions. If I pre-programmed him, he had no volition. He had no participation in the thing. He's just a robot. But when he follows my instructions, we both get pleasure. I say, he followed my instructions. I'm so happy. And he says, I humbled myself and went that the way he told me. Sometimes it rained or I had some, I didn't know, but I followed the instructions. Now, if Pastor Mike got I-75 and got up to I-10 and he said, you know, I-10 goes two directions. It goes to the east, but it goes to the west. Now, Pastor Bill told me to go to the west, but wonder why he told me to go to the east. He said, I wonder why he told me to go to the east. Maybe I should go to the west. I've always wanted to go west, young man. And so maybe I'll just explore I-10 and see where it goes. And it turns left and heads west on I-10 because I gave him the keys and the gas card and the van and a map, but I didn't preordain his steps, pre-motion his steps. I gave him volition, free will, and he got to I-10 and he decided to go his own way. And I don't stop him. No, because I predestined him, but I didn't pre-motion him. And he turns left and he goes west and he finds out it ends in Santa Monica and he stays there and he lives there and he becomes miserable. He's unhappy. He says, why did Pastor Bill send me here to Santa Monica? It's so terrible. And then one day he goes, wait a minute. He didn't tell me to, let me get the map. He goes down in the van. It's all full of McDonald's bags and cups and burgers. There's some fries on it and ketchup. And he cleans it off and he pulls it. Now, this is not real. Okay, don't look down on Pastor. It's just a story I'm just making up, but this is what happens in every one of our lives. And he pulls out the map. He pulls out the map, and he sees where I highlighted with a highlighter, and it went east. Oh, that's where I messed up. I went, y'all have a trip tick from AAA, and they do that, and they put the pink liner, and you're supposed to follow the line. And he says, that's where I messed up. Now what do I do? You know what? A lot of us find ourselves in life someplace we didn't want to be. And here's the good news. God always has a path to victory. There's always a way to New York. You can get there from anywhere with God. He still will pick you up and he'll give you a new map. And he'll say, okay, well, you're not there where I told you, but I'm going to give you a new map today. Now follow this new map. And that's his choice every day now, is to follow that new. And wherever you find yourself in life, if you seek God, he'll give you a fresh map to get to your destiny. But he was predestined, but not pre-motioned. Some people never find their destiny. They were predestined. He was predestined, but he didn't get there until he wanted to get there, until he decided to get there. He could spend the rest of his life in Santa Monica, die in Santa Monica. And people say, well, I guess that was Pastor Bill's plan for his life, was to die a bum in Santa Monica on the beach, homeless, under the Santa Monica pier. I wonder why he did that. No, that wasn't the plan. That wasn't the plan. God's got a plan. You got free will. You got the keys, and you got the gas. You got the pedal. And you can go, you got the steering wheel. Isn't that wonderful about God? Would you want it any other way? Would you want him dry? And you're just sitting there, I have no choice in the matter. I don't understand how people think that's the way God operates. Everything is predestined. No, God wouldn't make the dumb decisions I made in my life. I can tell you that. I can tell you for sure he didn't predestine all them stupid things that I did. I did that with the free will, with the gas card and the keys. That's what you are destined to win and be victorious, but you got to hook up with the plan. Yes. And not only that, you're destined to win and be victorious and to help others be victorious. That's the next part of the plan. You're on this earth for a reason. You're a solution to a problem on the earth. You're called to bring light in a dark situation. Don't sit there and complain about the darkness. That's where we shine the brightest. That's where we belong, bringing the light of the gospel into the darkness, not complaining about the darkness. Don't curse the darkness, turn on the light. You're called to be a bright light in a dark situation. Someone around you today is in a dark place in their life. And you've got the light of Jesus on the inside of you that you need to bring into their life. Right now, in your life, there's people around you need what you've got. You say, well, God could never use me. God is waiting for you to see that opportunity. And as you overcome your own obstacles, you help others. You were born to make a difference. There's something on the inside of every one of us wants to make a difference. Now, not many of us are going to be like world leaders and make a difference like that. You know, you may not be in a position to influence the whole world, but you might be the world to one person that needs you, that needs what's on the inside of you. Christians make a difference. Now, last week I gave you the seven steps to success in overcoming. I want to read them, and we're going to cover, hopefully we're going to cover three of them today, and then we're going to finish it up next week. Here's number one. Let the word read you daily. It's in your notes. Seek out friends who overcome. Hopefully you've been meditating on this since last week. Three, walk in the Spirit. Four, worship often. Five, feed your faith, starve your doubt. Six, identify your gifting and use your gifting. Come tonight and identify them at Growth Track. And number seven, be thankful. So let's take number one. Let the word read you daily. We've all heard you got to read the Bible daily, and I do believe that. I really believe you should read your Bible every day. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. But there is a difference between reading your Bible and your Bible reading you, and you need to do both. If you've never read through the whole Bible, you need to read the Bible. You need to see who all the characters are, and then read the whole Bible, and then someday the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Go back to this story because that applies to you today. So you should read the Bible, but you also every day have to let the Bible read you. Every day when I spend time with the Lord, when I leave my quiet time, I have a scripture in my mind that I know is what I have to think about today. This is my path to victory today. It's reading me. It's identifying in me. Let your Bible read you. Let the Word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that's what the Bible says, the Holy Spirit will take something that you're, if you don't read it, then he can't do that. But if you purpose in your heart to do that while you're reading, the Holy Spirit will take something and it'll, oh, that's my word. That's it. There's an old saying, it says, a man makes his habits and the habits make the man. A man makes his habits, the habits make. Please develop your own habit of reading the word every day and then seek to let the word read you. Look at this, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God. You say, oh, that's just an old dead book, a quaint collection of metaphysical fables. I don't know if I believe that. No, there's what the Bible says about itself. Here's what God says. The word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit. That's where we get in trouble. We get led by our soul rather than our spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. And woe unto us if we're led by our body. That's even worse. But our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions, you got to be careful about being led by your emotions. You need to be led by the Spirit. And the Word divides between the soul and the Spirit and says, oh, this is Spirit. This is your soul. Which one do you want to do? And even that's a struggle when I know the two, because we kind of like to do what we want to do. But at least if I know the difference, I can say, well, I really want to, even though I don't feel like it, I want to do what God wants me to do. And then you end up making better decisions. How do you do that? The Word of God divides between the soul. What's my soul? What's my emotions? What's my feeling? What decision am I making based on hurts and fears of the past that I don't want to get hurt again? So I'm not going in that direction. I'm not doing that. And then you let the word, and it says, this is what I want you to do. This is the Spirit. Then I overcome the objections of my flesh that say, don't do it. I didn't want to speak. I never wanted to speak. I couldn't answer roll call at school. My knees would knock, scared me half to death. God had another plan. Some point in my life, I don't have time to explain right now, I had to overcome the objections of my flesh, because there were times when God told me to speak and I could not do it because I listened to my fears. Fears were louder, and I had to go through a process of defeating the fears and being able to obey the Holy Spirit. King David put it this way, Psalm 139, "Search me, O God." Part of reading the Bible is reading the Bible. The other part is the Bible reading you. "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my anxious thoughts." Anybody have anxious thoughts? I think I'm getting better, because I tell you the truth, even as a Christian, I used to be so, I was anxious about everything to the point where it's not good for you. It's not healthy to be nervous, to be fearful, it's not good. "Show me my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting." God wants to lead you to a path of victory, a path of peace. It's going to take work, folks. It's going to take work, and you have to do it every day. What you do every day is what you become. Not what you think you do, not what you hope you could do, not what somebody else does, and you think that's great, but what you actually do every day is what you become. And if we want to become more like Christ, we have to get the bread of life every day. Psalm 119, David says again, he says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." A little boy was going through the family Bible one day, a big Bible. He took it out and he was kind of thumbing through and looking, and somebody had put a leaf in there. You know how they press stuff in the pages? And he got to that page and the leaf, big leaf, fell out in his lap, and he comes walking into the kitchen. His mother says, "What's that?" And he says, "I think I found Adam's pants." Number two, seek out friends who overcome. Can't tell you how important it is to have good friends, right friends. Friends who overcome. There's an old saying, "Show me your friends, I'll show you your future." 1 Corinthians 15:33, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." I talked about getting a good habit. Evil company will always corrupt your good habits. Ecclesiastes says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, one will lift up his companion. Woe to him who is alone when he falls. He has no one to help him." Get in a small group. Find some friends. Find some people who are overcoming. You say, you have to reach out. You have to make an attempt, because it's very important to find some godly friends. That's what's a big part of small groups is, getting to know people. You don't really get to know people while you're sitting there looking at me and looking at the back of somebody's head. You got to look at somebody's face. In a small group, we face each other and we get to know each other. Seek out friends who overcome. Number three, walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, "I say then, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh." Lust just simply means strong desire. Our flesh has a strong desire to pull us in the wrong direction. Walk in the Spirit and you won't do that. You say, "Well, Pastor, that sounds great, but how do you do that?" Well, I'm going to give you two ways to walk in the Spirit. Number one, read your Bible every day. Really, just read your Bible every day. And number two, and here's what I want you to work on this week, and I find this very important and we overlook this. Keep talking to God all day long. Just keep talking to God. You know, I can do this, spend my time with the Lord in the morning, close the book, walk out of my place of prayer, and go about my business. He doesn't want us to do that. He wants that time with Him to set the pace to where I'm taking Him with me all the rest of the day. Something happened Friday, I think it was, that made me think about this. I got two horses, and I've got Bill Jones, I've got two of his horses over at my place. Horses, they have halters, you know what? And I wanted to tie them up, and I tied up my two horses, and I wanted to tie up his two horses. I couldn't find the halters. I looked all over. I went where the halters usually are. They weren't there. I said, "Well, they must be in their stalls." Went out there where in the stall, they weren't there. "Well, maybe it's at the tree where I tie them up." They weren't there. I looked all over the garage. They weren't there. I went back to where they usually are. They weren't there. I said, "Well, maybe I left them in the horse trailer." And I had parked it way out in the back field. So I went way out in the back field. They weren't there. That's really making me mad now. You ever had that? You know, what happened to those halters? They're not even my halters. They're Bill's halters. What? somebody came in the middle of the night. No, that couldn't happen. Nobody stole those halters. They're here somewhere. You know, I spent an hour looking for those halters. I went through the same thing three times, the same places, because it's like, they can't be gone. They got to be there. And I said, well, I went around an hour, and then finally dawned on me. Dog it. I got to ask God. Right? Yeah. I've been looking. I've been trying everything I do to find those halters. And then it dawned on me. Dang it. Ask God. And see, and some of us is like, oh, God doesn't do stuff like that. He ain't going to help you. Listen, he wants to help you with everything. And I said, God, where's those halters? And I thought, well, how's he going to tell me? I thought, you know, we like, you know, like a flash of lightning and a neon, the halters are right, you know, with an arrow and, you know, a big word. I thought I'd see a picture of something and I'm trying to, and I thought, I don't know how he's going to do this. I just know he's going to show me. And I just started walking, and I looked down and I see a little piece of rope sticking out from under a box. Dang it. I kicked the box. There's the two halters right there. That's it. And there they are. And I started to say to myself, I found those. I didn't really need God's help. I just needed, and then all of a sudden it dawned. You gotta know. I looked for an hour and couldn't find them. 30 seconds later, there they are. And the devil says, God doesn't like you, don't want to help you, and he doesn't speak to you anymore. But he made me find those things in 30 seconds. People ask, they say, you know, ask God to help them, tell me. And then they say, well, God doesn't speak to me. Well, what do you think is the right thing to do? And then they'll tell you and say, God told you. God spoke to you. You don't give God the credit sometimes for helping you. You just got to know that I found the halters, folks. I found the halters. 30 seconds after I spent an hour in my strength, and then you got to talk to God. He cares about halters. He cares about everything that concerns you. He wants to help you. And here's the thing. Just believe. Yeah. See, and I asked him, I thought, no, I ain't going to see no big neon light. But you know what? I knew. I'm going to find them really fast. Whoa, look at that little thing sticking out from under. Look at that sticking out from under. I walked past that 50 times. They were under that box. They were under the box, Mike. They were right under the box, right there. Yeah. God wants to help you. You got to believe that he wants to help you, and that he will help you, and he will help you, and you'll be surprised. You will get through these things. When you ask God something, just trust him that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Seek first the kingdom of God, and I'll take care of these things for you. I've got you in my hand. And that's my challenge for you this whole week. I would like for you to work on talking to God. I hopefully you have a time. If you don't, spend time with God, some time with God. But more than that, I want you to walk, to practice this, number three, walking in the Spirit. It's really more simple than we thought. It's not like, you know, you hear harps and you're floating and ooh, and there's a glow around your head and people are all, oh. No, it's just talking to God. Where's the halter? Where's the halter? Where's my answer? I got a problem. Ask him, trust him. Just believe and just talk to him. You'll be surprised how many things he can do for you if you let him. When Pastor Mike turned left on I-10 and he got to Texas, he should have said, wait a minute, God help me. And he'd say, turn that thing around, man. You're heading the wrong way. Some of us just need to stop and ask God. And he's, turn that thing around. Turn that anger around. Turn that hate around. Turn that unforgiveness around. Turn that decision. Turn that lust around. Turn that pride around. Turn that decision around. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. And if he says it and you don't like it, it's better to do it. I can tell you that. Because I've not done what God wanted me to do, and it don't work out. I found out the hard way. So just let it be my experience, and you don't have to do that. But we've all done that, haven't we? Let's just start listening to God, asking God, and knowing. Talk to God more. Talk to God more. Have lots of conversations with him this week.
nothing's too small.
Live life with God. He wants to do life with you. He doesn't left you down here to do it alone. He's just not up there with his arms folded, just watching, and the hairs of your head are numbered, not counted, numbered. A sparrow doesn't fall from a tree without his notice, and he said, you're worth more than many sparrows. He cares about you. He cares about what you're going through. So we're going to take a little journey on overcoming. Is you okay with that? The purpose of this series is to inspire you to new heights and infuse you with the vision of overcoming and transform you from being a victim into a victor in order to bring peace and happiness into your home and your family. I want you to think about this this week. Next week, we're going to keep working down these seven steps to success. Think about somebody in your life that needs to hear this. Who could you bring? Where can you shine your light in somebody they're in a dark place in their life, and nobody's shining a light? And you might be here today and say, well, you know what? I just kind of got started. I'm not really doing that well myself, and I'm no theologian. Listen, you're better off than they are. That's all it takes. That's all it takes is just, do you have a relationship with God? That's all it takes. God does the work. Start thinking about people in your life. I'll tell you, you'll never grow so fast as when you start trying to help somebody else. Maybe you're here today, you've never really surrendered your life to Christ. And when I talk about knowing God, maybe you're like me that went to church for 20 years. I didn't know God. Knew about God, kind of knew there was a God, but didn't know him. Certainly didn't know what he was like. I had a really bad concept of who God was and what he was like. Totally missed the picture on who he was. He's not like what I thought he was at all. He's a really good God. And Jesus taught us to pray. He said, our Father. He's a perfect Father. He's a loving Father. He cares about you today. You might be here today. You've never entered into that relationship with God. Or maybe you have, but you know, you're not walking with him every day. Just every head bowed and every eye closed and everybody just praying and thinking about your own life and what God wants to do with your life. Let me just ask you something. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, went to bed tonight, that was it. Would you go to heaven? You might be here today, I don't know. Think so, hope so, not sure. Does anybody know for sure? Yep. Bible says, I've written these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. Know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Very simple. Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you have to be born again. That means there comes a time in your life when you just surrender your life to Christ. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. You got to be born again. Surrender your life to Christ. You trust him. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes. He lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. That's what it means. You might be here today. You say, you know what, Pastor? I did that in the past, but today I'm not where I want to be with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I am not going to ask you to stand up or come forward, but right where you're seated, if either one of those two applied to you, and today you're making a decision for Christ that's going to change your tomorrow. Just slip up your hand real quick. I'm just going to pray for you. Thank you. Anybody else? Today, you want to make some changes. You want to get right with God, or you want to get back on track? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Now you can put your hands down. Pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them out. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. It meant business with God. And I'm
so proud of you.